I should like to begin this evening by reading a couple of passages with you together, back to back, which at first glance may seem to have little to do with each other, but I think as we'll see going along, they have a great deal in common. First is in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 14. Mark 9 at 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And now keep that in your mind as we turn to the book of John and chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we begin here at verse number 17. We just read about a man that had a problem with his son that only Jesus could take care of. And the father had a measure of faith, but realized he needed more of the faith Christ was talking about with respect to his son. And here we have in John chapter 11 a situation where two sisters had lost their brother Lazarus to death. Jesus had heard about this when he was some distance away and purposely allowed the illness to continue to its conclusion of death. And only realizing then what had happened, Jesus decides to go now and be with the two sisters. And we begin now in John chapter 11 and verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is to come into the world." And you know that that story continues. Jesus comes to the tomb, and he simply says the words, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus does. In both cases, you have people who are at the brink of unbelief, hanging desperately on to faith and refusing to let go of the true faith, their true conviction in what Christ could do against all odds, against all reason, against anything that made any sense. They continued believing even though nothing they saw made any sense to them. No wonder the father in the first story said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And why Martha here with her brother, now 4 days in the tomb, "I believe." But you can almost in your mind's eye hear the crack in her voice saying that, as she must know that something is going on. She has no ability to understand. She doesn't believe her brother's going to be raised from the dead, but "I believe." And of course, the best happens. We have the luxury of looking back on these stories from the easy chair of history, and we can see what happened going into it, what happened during the story, and the wonderful conclusion of the story. A wonderful time we have, but imagine living with them during these situations themselves. The most difficult test of faith is when it gets personal. It's easy to have faith in the abstract or the hypothetical. But when it is required of you in your own life, in your own situation, in your own struggles, it takes on a whole new difficulty and challenge. I remember years ago hearing the story of a man who was known far and wide as an artist of the tightrope. And he put a rope between two tall buildings, and about 20 feet there he had to walk across, and a crowd had gathered, and he asked them, "How many believe that I can walk across the tightrope?" And you look up and see the rope, and you can barely see it in the sky, and you see the man, and about half of them had heard of him, and so about half said, we believe you can do it." Well, he got up and walked across slowly and made it safely to the other side. And he comes back down and says, "Now, how many of you believe I can do that same thing I just did, blindfolded?" Well, this time, even though it really seemed impossible, a little more than half said, we believe you can do it." He got up and put a blindfold around his eyes, and he took that first timid step out upon the rope, and then the next and the next, until finally, blindfolded, he went across that tightrope to the other side safely. Thunderous applause. He comes back down and says, "Now, how many of you believe, blindfolded, I can walk across that tightrope carrying somebody on my back, piggyback?" Every hand went up. They saw him walk across. They saw him do it blindfolded. Every hand went up. His next question, "Who is my first volunteer?" And that made the point. There's a difference in believing in the abstract, in the hypothetical, than believing when it's personal. It's easy when somebody else is going through struggles. You just need to have more faith. And then you go through your own struggles, and somebody says that to you, and you want to say to them, "You have more faith. I'm doing my best here. I'm pedaling as fast as I can. I'm struggling as hard as I might. I'm struggling to believe." But still, True Christian character, regardless, keeps on keeping on even when it makes no sense. The man whose son was convulsing because of this spirit, which had been in him since years prior. What sense did it make that someone could just say a word? Just a word, and the spirit would leave him, and he'd be all right, like it was never a problem. Or even beyond that, who could possibly imagine a body that had begun to decompose in the tombs for 1, 2, 3, and 4 days now? And with words said, "Lazarus, come forth," he does. It makes no sense. And it is easy reading the Bible to say, well, yes, of course, we know how it turns out. When it's our life, when it's our situation, we're in the middle of it, and we find faith sometimes difficult to get hold of. And so if there is a passage in the Bible that speaks to me, and perhaps to you as well, it's that expression from the Father about his son. Lord, I believe. Now, he didn't stop there. Now, he didn't say, Lord, I believe. I'm the biggest believer in here. I believe more than anybody else. Nobody believes like I believe. You know, that's kind of like Peter was when he said he wouldn't be offended by Christ that night. And he had more faith, it seems, than all of those of his disciples. Well, no, this Father's not like that. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I think that speaks to all of us. And that's one reason we sing songs like we do, to encourage our faith and to strengthen our faith. And that's a way we can sing and admonish one another. Turn to number 95 in your song books. Now, I will have to be honest with you here about this. I don't know if everybody knows this or not, and I'm always hesitant to use this forum to introduce a new song. I won't ask you who knows it, because it doesn't matter. We're going to sing it anyway. But just if you don't, hang on, and it'll get better. And if you can't hang on, not believing it's going to get better, just read the words, because that's the most important part of the song. When I behold thy glory share, the stars unfurl, the splendid sky, all nature bows, creation shouts, then I believe that God is real. Yes, I believe that God loves me. His hand I feel, his ways I see. From moving tides, cross space so wide, for I believe that God is real. Yes, I believe that God loves me. His hand I feel, his ways I see. From moving tides, cross space so wide, for I believe that God is real. The morning sun, nightshade enfolds, a million tongues could not recall his mighty power, but speak the word, and I believe that God is real. Yes, I believe that God loves me. His hand I feel, his ways I see. From moving tides, cross space so wide, for I believe that God is real. Yes, I believe that God loves me. His hand I feel, his ways I see. From moving tides, cross space so wide, for I believe that God is real. Notice, please, in the chorus, the words we just sang. Second page. I believe that God is real. Yes, I believe that God loves me. His hand I feel, His ways I see. Do you see how personal those words are? It's not just faith in the abstract. It's not just faith for someone else. It's not just faith for everybody else. It's faith of my own. There's a sense in which we can know a lot of things and still not believe them. And I mean believe them in the sense of really, really trusting and believing in them. I'm a firm believer because the Bible teaches it, that we should be students of the Word. We should read and study and learn and love to spend time in the Word of God. But there comes a point when it moves past just knowing what it says and believing what it says. And one additional step we make from that to believing what it says about me and for me. And I think in that last, it's possible that many of us have left that last step out. Oh, faith is important in general. It's good to believe generally. And faith is good for everybody to have. We all need to have it. But when it really comes down to my life, in my situations, in those things I'm dealing with, how strong is my personal faith? A faith that trusts that God will do what is best. You know, why do we pray? It's to remind us of who God is. It's not to inform Him of what He doesn't know. It's not to change His mind about something. We really pray to God to remind ourselves of who He is and let Him know who we are and how dependent we are upon Him and His goodness, His grace, His compassion. The Bible teaches that we should walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. That the just are said to live by faith, Romans 1 and 17. We are the just, I hope. But beyond just those abstractions, there is the idea that John talks about in 1 John chapter 3. When he speaks of the faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Turn in your songbooks to number 469. 469. And before we sing that, I'd like to open our Bibles together and read that last reference I just made, because I think I misplaced it. Yes, I put it in chapter 3. And this is more for my benefit than yours, by the way. But since we're here, let's read it together. Beginning at verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5. Not 3, 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And of course, all that means, the fact He's God's Son means He's the Messiah. That means He's the Savior. That means He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. That means his word stands and his word forever rules the hearts of those who follow him. And what's the victory we have to overcome the world that's so opposed to everything he stands for? Well, it's not just knowing facts, as important as those facts are. It's believing those facts. And most important of all, we believe that there's a better life past this one. No matter how good or how bad, how wonderful, how destitute this life is, it's such a small, insignificant thing compared to eternity. And we believe there is life beyond this one, and for us in Christ, a better life beyond this one. And that belief spurs us forward, moves us in the right direction, keeps us keeping on day by day. And that faith is a victory that helps us to overcome the world. And as we go through the struggles of life, what keeps us with a smile on our face? Realizing there are better days ahead. The Lord is with us. Though everybody deserts us, the Lord is with us. It's that faith that the Bible is true, that Christ is right, that God is faithful, that we can depend upon the promises the Bible gives us. And we can say, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That kind of faith is something you can't put a price tag on. That kind of faith is a difference in a life that struggles, a life that is in chaos and frustration, in a life that has purpose and contentment and meaning. And so back to 469, let's sing the song based upon the verse we just read in 1 John chapter 5. 469. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. That overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. You probably had faith I was going to continue that song. And that shows why faith in people sometimes is misfounded. The Lord won't let you down, but sometimes this preacher will. And the reason I stopped is because for some reason my voice seems to be leaving me faster than I would like. And so with that said, I'll just encourage us at the last year to remind us all that we need more, stronger, more abundant faith. But don't be surprised when you find your faith faltering. Don't give yourselves license to give up on faith. Instead, double down and say, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief, and keep on regardless, because the prize is at the end. Pass this life. Keep on. Don't give up. Never quit. If you're not a Christian, you need to start the race. And if you are a Christian but have walked away, you need to come back and re-enter the race. Increase your faith day by day. You'll increase your happiness, your life, your contentment. You'll be much more what God wants you to be. But if you need to come now as together we stand and sing.